We're starting the Hamikdavar and Parshas Tetzaveh. There are a few really beautiful Hamikdavars that I want to speak about tonight. Again, we'll see how much time we have to, you know, whether we do all of them or not. But certainly there are a few Hamikdavars here where the Netziv spells out basic Yesodos, you know, very basic insights into the Mishkan, the purpose of the Mishkan, the role of the Mishkan, the role of Moshe and Aaron, you know, and you know, things which I think we'll have a lot of hanah from. So I want to start at the very beginning. It's always good to start at the beginning with the very first Hamikdavar in the parsha. The pasuk starts off Viato, and you, Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course, we know Tetzav is the one parsha starting with Sefer Shmos, in which Moshe Rabbeinu was not mentioned by name. Viato, you, Tetzav is Bnei Yisrael, command the children of Israel. V'yikcho ilecho shemen zayisach kosis lamor. They should take for you pure olive oil that's finely ground up to help illuminate. Lahalos ner tamid, in order to enable the light to burn perpetually in the Mishkan. Be'ol ma'ay michus la'parochas asher ala'idos. It should be in the Oel Moed, in the menorah, obviously, outside of the paroches, which covers the Kodesh HaKodashim, where the luchos are. Yarochoso Aaron uvonu me'erev ha'boker l'vnei Hashem. Aaron and his sons should set up the menorah, that it should light from evening till morning before God. Chukas olam darosam, an eternal statute for all generations, me'es b'nei Yisrael, from the children of Israel. So the Netziv starts off by saying Klal Parshas Oniflah. The truth is, these two psukim, which kind of are here in the middle of nowhere, are just astounding, says the Netziv. Levad Loshem Yatov Mitzav Shikvar Ando Rishonim Alzeh. First of all, let's start from the beginning. What's the Loshem Yatov Mitzav? Right? We don't find that equivalent anywhere. It's just typically, if there's a new topic which begins in the Torah, so the Torah introduces that new topic by Davar Hashem Moshe Lemar. Here, just sort of out of the blue, V'ato Tetzave, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm talking to you. Go and tell Klal Yisrael to bring Shemen Zayizach. Very strange.
Revolves
is always a continuation. Mm-hmm. Old Ikar Aparsha, Ein Kan Mekoma HaMishkan. And furthermore, this whole parsha is out of place. Right? Because V'yosa Oyim Mekoma Achar Maisa HaMenorah Al-Koponim. Let's look at what happens over here. In Parshas Truma, the making of the Mishkan is described. And the menorah was introduced towards the beginning of Parshas Truma. So then we stop, we interrupt with these two psukim that say, by the way, this is the way the menorah works. We haven't spoken about the menorah now for numerous psukim. But we suddenly interrupt our program to bring us some discussion of the menorah. You have to light the menorah every night. And then, all of a sudden, we go back into a totally different discussion, the discussion of Aaron and the Big Day Kahuna. So these two psukim just are out of nowhere. They don't really fit in with anything else. The Vav HaChibor, notwithstanding, there really seems to be no connection to what came previously, or what comes after. Gam Lashon V'yikhu Eilecha Eino Mavur Maza. Also the Lashon V'yikhu Eilecha, let them take for you Shemen Zayizach Kosis Lamor. What do you mean V'yikhu Eilecha? Let them take for you pure olive oil to put in the menorah. Put pure olive oil in the menorah. Right? You know, V'yidnu Shemen Zayizach B'soch HaMenorah, however you want to say it exactly. What do you mean V'yikhu Eilecha? Let them take it for you. So Zotin, it's the Ramban Kosav. So the Ramban already asked this kasha. What do you mean v'yikhu eilecha? And the Ramban gives the following teretz: Shehizir shivu ulafanov u'moshe yira emuzach the kosis karoy. The Mishkan was made under rabbinic supervision. So v'yikhu eilecha means as follows: they're going to take the oil to put into the menorah. But before they put the oil into the menorah, you have to put your hechsher on it, Moshe Rabbeinu, to say that taka, it's the purest, you know, best quality olive oil that's out there. So v'yikhu eilecha, that's what it means. Let them take it and bring it to you so you can look over it and say, yeah, taka sashkochasi, under the badatz, Moshe Rabbeinu, and then of course, once it's under Moshe Rabbeinu's hashkacha, they have to get a second hashkacha also, because of course, why would we just trust Moshe Rabbeinu's hashkacha? But, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu will sign off on the oil before it's put into the menorah. That's the Ramban says. That's the Lashon V'yikhu Eilecha. Ve'eino el pela, says the Netziv, I don't understand the Ramban. V'chilo nemnu, Pekidei Amishka Alzeh. What? So, without Moshe Rabbeinu giving the sign off, the ones who were in charge of the Mishkan, as after all, the Kohanim, right? The Kohanim weren't trusted when they were told that they had to take the purest oil to light the menorah. Without Moshe Rabbeinu's Hashgacha, they couldn't be trusted to do that. The Umagim Yeacharei Mos Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, so who's going to give that Hashgacha on the oil? So whoever we trust after Moshe Rabbeinu dies, I mean, why all of a sudden would the oil need some kind of special Hashgacha for Moshe Rabbeinu? Again, that's the Ramban's interpretation of the Yichoy Lechov. It says that it's there. It's just Pasha doesn't understand why the Ramban interprets it in that way.
Answer so many, but one of the questions, I think it's kind of simple. This parsha now is dealing with the whole avodah of Aaron HaKohen to inaugurate them, that they're going to be the representatives of Kodesh Baruch Hu in the Mishkan. They're going to be doing all the avodah. So very simple, the menorah is going to be done with via Aaron. This is part of the avodah Sakuhuna. That's why it's mentioned after now.
Okay, but there are a lot of avodah Sakuhuna. So why not mention the Karbanos? The Karbanos
mentioned.
Right?
Later something mentioned.
Okay. All right. So let's see. Oh yesh lahoyer, al maimer chazal v'yavikra b'vayikra rabba sof parshas emar perik lamin hey al apostik tzavis b'nei tzavik v'ilach Hashem and zayi zoch. Right? Furthermore, besides the difficulties in the psukim themselves, so there's a strange medrash I want to call your attention to, says the Nitzit. Mamish, you can see him building up the shir, right? All the kashas. What's the medrash? The medrash quotes our pasuk, and it says, Hadahu diksiv. Right, it's not our pasuk. It's the pasuk at the end of Parshas Emor. It also talks about the menorah, but a similar type of pasuk. Hadol deksiv rosh cholecha kekarmel melech osur barahotim umefarshim melech zemoshe umesayim omer hakodesh baruch hu moshe moshe melech astisicha v'yein derech melech lasos beatzmo tzav la'acherim lasos b'shvilcha. In the Medrash, again, without going into the particulars, the Medrash depicts the Ribbono Shel Olam saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're a melech. You're a king. It's not appropriate for a king to micromanage things. You tell others to take care of this. The Pasuk there says, Tzavis b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu eilech Hashem and Zayizach, command that the children of Israel should take pure olive oil to light the menorah. The reason I'm telling you this is because you, Moshe Rabbeinu, would have been tempted on your own to go take the oil and put it into the menorah, but pasnished for someone of your stature, tell the Jewish people to do it, or tell the Kohanim that they should be involved in doing it. Pass the buck, the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu. Is that Medrash Pliya?
No.
Right? So it says that it's of, what does that mean? This is an astounding Medrash. Right? The entire Torah is God telling Moshe to command the Jewish people to do this, to do that, to do the other thing. Why is it davka in the parsha of the menorah, where the language Tzavis b'nei Yisrael, you know, sets off Chazal and gets Chazal to say, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu really had an urge. He had a hankering to do this mitzvah himself, to put the oil into the menorah, and God had to hold him back. What was it about the menorah that Chazal saw that was what was going on?
And in addition to that, it says by David HaMelech how he's different than other kings. All other kings, they pamper them while he's busy getting up early morning with answering shaylos.
Right,
and,
right.
Moshe Rabbeinu also says that how he went ahead and tended to the flock as a shepherd.
Right. He got his hands dirty with Klal
Yisrael. Right, it just goes against what we think of as a Jewish concept of it.
Right. So there as well, you know, why Taka would the Ribbono Shel Olam hold him back from lighting them enough? Yeah.
I'm speaking of, you know, Moshe of all the Kalim of the Mishkan, Moshe was struggling the most with the menorah.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of it.
Right.
So perhaps maybe we can say that the menorah is more dear to him because of the person has a shver sukkah and he has to go break his head on it and he understands it. So all the, when he makes a seal, he remembers these sukkahs, different sukkahs that he had in the sefer. Those are the more precious ones to him. Mm-hmm. He argued on it, now he understands it. So maybe we can say the same thing, that the menorah is the most difficult thing for Moshe to have. And maybe that's why he got the one to have the avodah to do the life of the menorah. I can understand shot now. Well, for Moshe
Okay, hold that thought. Right? Aval Yisod, so to try to put all these questions together and try to get an answer, Lomanu al yidei bir od maimer b'rabba parsha zo v'ato hakrevi lecha. Right? There's a Medrash Rabba on this parsha, on the psukim that are going to follow immediately thereafter. When Moshe Rabbeinu was told, v'ato hakrevi lecha z'aron achicha v'esbon avito v'lecha hanoli, you go and take Aaron and his sons to be kohanim. Hadol v'ksiv. Right? So in quoting that pasuk, says the Medrash, a pasuk in Tehillim comes to mind that expresses Moshe Rabbeinu's feelings at that time. What's the pasuk? A famous pasuk, right? It's a pasuk from Kalbach, which you know, also was first said by David HaMelech. Lule sorozcha shashuai ozov adeti ba'onyi. Right? The pasuk from Tehillim, Kuf Yud Tes. Were it not for your Torah, my delight, I would have been lost in my anguish. Right? So this pasuk refers, says the Medrash, to Moshe Rabbeinu. B'shal sha'am HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe v'yato hakrevi lecha heira lo. When the Ribbono Shel Olam came to Moshe Rabbeinu and he said, take Aaron and his sons to be kohanim. So it hurt Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal tell us, was originally supposed to be the Kohen. And you know, the statement from God to Moshe Rabbeinu that, you know, Aaron's going to be the Kohen, his sons are going to be the Kohanim. So, Moshe Rabbeinu felt this hurt, this, I don't know, you know, it bothered him, you know, understandably. So Amar Leh, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to make Moshe Rabbeinu feel better. And he said, you know, don't get so jealous of Aaron and his sons. Torah nasati lecha. No, I made you the conduit to bring the Torah to Klal Yisrael. She'ilulehi lo borasi olami. Had it not been for the Torah, I wouldn't have even created the world. So you got to be covered, Moshe Rabbeinu. You got the Torah, so don't get so hung up on the fact that you're not a Kohen and your children are not Kohanim. That's lule soros chashashuai. Moshe Rabbeinu says, were it not for the fact that I received the Torah, which is the ultimate delight, ozav adati ba'ani, I would have been lost in my anguish over the fact that my brother and his sons were the ones who got the kuhuna. V'hine, so let's work with that medrash, says the Nitziv. What's that medrash trying to tell us? V'hine lo noda ikar his hatar onas minali l'chazal sheheira l'moshe. Right? How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was so upset? How did Chazal know that Moshe Rabbeinu was so upset? V'suim heira l'moshe ein zepias kokach. And the truth is, if Moshe Rabbeinu was upset, the truth is the Ribbono Shel Olam's answer is not such a good answer. You say, what do you mean it's not a good answer? Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, right? Yeah, as big as COVID, you know. What are you upset about? You didn't get psicha, we gave you maftir, right? You know, it's the bigger COVID. Nah, but it's not really the bigger COVID, says the Nitziv. Shrei eino domek kahuna, shila aron lezaro ve'en lezulasu chelek ba. The kahuna is the exclusive province of Aaron and his sons. No other Jew can be a Kohen. Right? I mean, the only guy who can buy the kahuna is the guy in the joke who says, I don't know, my father was a Kohen, my grandfather was a Kohen, so why can't I be a Kohen also? He's the only guy who can be a Kohen. Everybody else can't be a Kohen. Mashenka Torah nitna l'cho Yisrael k'mo l'moshe l'zaro. El'moshe b'atzmo ha'yashliach v'zocha sh'tinosin al yodo v'ezeh shaychus l'zaro klau. You know, when Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah, yes, it's a big schus to get the Torah. No one's denying that. But once he got the Torah, he handed it over to Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu isn't the owner of the Torah. He was the conduit through which the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. And now, every Chayim, Yanko, Beryl, and Merrill is as much a bailim on Torah, is as much as an owner of the Torah, as Moshe Rabbeinu himself is. And Moshe Rabbeinu and his children have no unique role to play after that in Klal Yisrael. Certainly his children don't. Right? His children don't have any yichus that makes them different than anybody else. So in a sense, Moshe Rabbeinu could have said back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I appreciate the fact that I was chosen to give the Torah, but the gift of kahuna to Aaron and his sons is still a better gift. Right? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu accept what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him? Elo ha'inyin b'chol zeh. So let me explain it to you, says the Nitziv. Let me explain this medrash. And from this medrash, we'll understand all of these questions, we'll understand what this parsha is all about. The Yesh Lodas, the Or HaTorah, Shutachlis HaMishkon, V'Ikar HaMashre, Shechina B'Yisrael. Ultimately, the purpose of the Mishkan, of course, is to spread the light of Torah. Right? Because the Shechina, you know, the presence of God is manifest through the Torah. The Mishkan is to bring God's presence into the world. The Ramban famously writes that the Mishkan is a reenactment of Har Sinai. Right, that the Aron at the center of the Mishkan is made out of gold to represent the fire in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Luchos at Har Sinai. Right, the whole point of the Mishkan is to illuminate Klal Yisrael through the Or HaTorah. So this goal is accomplished through two different kelim. There are two different vessels in the Mishkan that spread the light of Torah. Bo b'shefa yideyam so shnei klei kodesh. Hainu ha'aron v'hamenorah. The Aron represents Torah, it contains Torah, and we know that the menorah represents Torah, right? The light of Torah. So, being that the Aron and the menorah both represent Torah, why do we need two vessels? Right? If the Aron is Torah and the menorah is Torah, why do we need both of them? There's clearly a different function which each of them plays. V'nishtanu pu'loseihem. They're different from one another, says the Nitziv. Ha'aron ba li'yud ha'dibros shibiksav. The Aron represents the fixed aspect of Torah. The Torah Shebiksav, the Dibros, which clearly is, you know, the fixed aspect of Torah. And even those elements, those parts of Torah Shebaalpeh, which are revealed and which are relatively fixed, like a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, right? A Mesorah. A tradition that was just given to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? When it says l'totafos b'nei necha, it means these black boxes that we call tefillin, and this is how you make them. When it says v'shochatu kasher tzivisicha, right, that you will shecht in the way in which I commanded you, this is shechita. These are the five halachas of shechita. This is how you do it, right? You know, the absolute, unchanging Torah shebiksav and Torah shebaalpeh, the clarity of Torah is represented by the Aron. Va'adayin ein bo zeh koach ha'pilpul v'hachidush sheyehei odom yochol l'chadesh me'atzmo dvar halacha she'eino mekubo. But what the Aron does not represent is the element of Torah which is unfixed, which is based on creativity, the koach ha'chidush. Right? There are aspects of Torah which, again, clearly the Ribbono Shel Olam knows the entire Torah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately did not reveal everything to Moshe Rabbeinu. Did not reveal everything explicitly to Moshe Rabbeinu, we should say it that way. God, when He gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, left portions ambiguous and open to interpretation. Precisely that, we should be empowered through our koach archidush, through our ability to creatively interpret Torah, for us to come up with an understanding of Torah. There's a very famous Gemara Menachos, she doesn't quote, but I think illustrates this idea, where Moshe Rabbeinu is transported into the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, and the Tana Rabbi Akiva is giving a shir, and Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting there, and he's, you know, following the shir back and forth, and da da da, and he says, I don't know what's going on. You know, this man is giving a shiur about Torah, and I got the Torah. I know what he's talking about, right? And you know, the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu had a chalisha sadas. He was very upset about the whole thing. And so finally, in the middle of the shiur, one of the talmidim raises his hand and says, Rebbe, saying to Rebbe Akiva, what's the source of this halacha? He says, Dr. Rebbe Akiva, it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu at the back of the classroom says, oh, okay, now I feel better. Right? Why do you feel better? Right? He should have said, wait a minute. Actually, I object. It's not a local Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm here. I'm Moshe Rabbeinu. I can speak for myself. I don't remember that. So the answer is that there's so much of Torah which was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, which even Moshe Rabbeinu didn't fully understand, because there were parts of Torah that are latent in Torah, but need to be coaxed out of Torah and understood and interpreted, and it is really the halacha l'Moshe Misinai. It really is what Moshe Rabbeinu got at Har Sinai. It's not a new invention. When we learn Torah and we come up with chidushim, we're not inventing things, we're discovering things. There's a difference between discovery and invention, Right? Invention means it wasn't here before. You made it. Discovery means it was here. Just nobody noticed it before. Nobody pulled it out. When a scientist makes a scientific discovery, right? You know, what was it? Francis and Crick discovered DNA, right? So it's not pshat that they invented DNA, right? They discovered DNA. It was always there. Somebody was waiting to, you know, to come along and unveil it, you know, to let everybody know that it was there. So Rabbi Akiva was unveiling that which was latent in Torah, and when Moshe Rabbeinu realized that, he said, oh, okay, this taka is what I got. I didn't see these possibilities in it, but there's a koach hachidush which can bring out elements of Torah which are there but need to be extracted from Torah.
I can give you an example: electricity.
Moshe
Rabbeinu is going to talk to electricity.
Right.
Halacha is
become from. Right. I mean, so many medical things. You know, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's position on brain death? Right? Well, depends who you ask.
Right?
Go to different rabbanim today. They have very different ideas what Moshe Rabbeinu's position was on brain death. And the truth is, Moshe Rabbeinu may not have formulated, you know, if you would have asked Moshe Rabbeinu what would be in the case of brain death, he may not have formulated something just because you'd have to work through, you know, the Torah that he was given and come out with an understanding. Right? It's not as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu necessarily told him, you know, what's the story with brain death? You know, this is the story with brain death. Right. Machlokes, sure, halacha l'moshe misina, 100%. Right? So that's the koach hapilpul. It's a different aspect of Torah. V'lazeh koach hanifla hanikra Talmud, right? And this incredible power, the power to look into Torah and to be mechadish things, to discover things, to use the creativity of the human mind to extract things from Torah, which is called Talmud, right? In other words, the Talmud that we have is just writing down those discussions that people had, which was the Koach HaPilpul, the Koach HaPilpul of the Tanoim and Amoraim. But, you know, basically when we sit and learn and we come up with Chidushim, that's also an element of Talmud. Nitan Koach HaMenorah. That's what the menorah represents. Right? The menorah represents the idea of delving into Torah and being mechadish chidushim in Torah. Asher nichla bal sheva chochmas. Right? The menorah represents the seven different wisdoms, all different types of human wisdom. That's what the seven branches of the menorah represent. V'chol kochos hanidrash l'pulpula shel Torah. And we need all of those wisdoms and all of those powers to be able to be mefalpil, to understand Torah, and to bring out the chidushim of Torah, right? It calls the secular disciplines, essentially, you know, things like music and the like, right? It calls to mind the famous statement that's quoted from the Vilna Gaon, that's quoted from his Talmud, Reb Baruch of Shklov, you know, that the Vilna Gaon said that you essentially need these secular disciplines in order to be the Omek Shel Torah. In other words, you need mathematics in order to be able to understand certain aspects of Torah. You need to have an understanding of astronomy in order to be able to understand certain aspects of Torah. In other words, every chokhmah that's out there, you need in order to be able to plumb the depths of what Torah is all about. V'chozeh nichlal b'kaftorim u'prachim. As we know from last week's parsha, the menorah is described as having kaftorim, which were knobs on the menorah that Rashi says looked like little apples, little fruits. Well, I should say tapuchim, I don't know if those are apples, but little fruits that are on the menorah, and prachim, and little flowers that were on the menorah. At the east of the Bereshit Rabba, Perek Sari Aleph, Reb Tarfa B'Shosha, Yomei Dover Mesukon, Haya Omer Kaftor Voferach. There's an expression which the Medrash cites, which is still used today in the circles of Talmidei Chachamim. Says Reb Tarfon, when he heard a good vart, something that really made sense and worked out, a good teretz, he would say, "Oh, that answers the kasha kaftor v'ferach," right? Kaftor v'ferach, again, literally like a fruit and a flower. Right? Yeah, I mean, it's the equivalent of good gezocht, right? But why would you say kaftu v'ferach, you know, to imply good gezocht? What does kaftu v'ferach got to do with, you know, you said good? The siach rabin shi yisrael l'lamdeinu ba. He didn't say this by, you know, he didn't just pick kaftu v'ferach out of a hat. The reason Reb Tarfon used to say kaftu v'ferach was to teach us Shemash Talmud Vosik Mechadish Dover Tov Hu Al Yidei Koach Shenirmas Bekaptur Vaferach Shalam Menorah. If you come up with a good vort, that's the koach of the menorah, the koach of Kaptur Vaferach, the koach of being a, what was Kaptur Vaferach? Kaptur Vaferach is that which is produced by the tree. Torah is the tree. Eitz Chaim Yilam Achazikim Bo. But you can't eat a tree. The godless of the tree lies in what the tree produces, the fruits and the flowers. When we take the Torah and we use our intellect to extrapolate things from Torah, we are engaging in the process of Kaftu V'Ferach. That's why the Kaftu V'Ferach was such an important part of the menorah, because the menorah represents that Koach HaChidush. Alkein Bebayi Sheni Sherabu Yeshivos Ve'amidu Talmidim Harbe Lahavayas Da'abayi V'Rava Shehu HaTalmud. So when did this Koach HaChidush come to the fore? He says in particular during the days of Bayis Sheni. Right? The age of the Tanoim started during the period of Bayis Sheni, right? And it continued thereafter. So during the Bayis Sheni, where there was such an explosion, at least in part, of Koach HaChidush, Mishum Hochi Nischazik Koach HaMenorah Al Yidei Neis Techanika. That's why the miracle of Chanukah, which involves the menorah, took place during the period of Bayis Sheni. In a sense, Bayis Rishon, where the way the Netziv understands it, there was a lot of Torah study, but less of the Koach HaChidush. It was more an element of just familiarizing yourself with the basics. And there was less machlokas. Machlokas goes hand in hand with the Koach HaChidush, because you look at it this way, I look at it that way. But we're both using our creativity to come up with a different way of understanding it. So the Koach HaChidush is Bayis Sheni. That's why the menorah is the symbol of Bayis Sheni. And interestingly enough, the Bayis Sheni lacks an Aron. Right? There's a sort of diminishing of the certainty of the basic texts of Torah. On the one hand, that was Bayis Rishon. On the other hand, there's an explosion of the ability to be Mechadish in Torah, and that's the idea of the menorah with Bayis Sheni. And he says if you look a little bit later on in Sefer Shmos, he's going to show how this is hinted at in the Torah itself. V'hainu de'isa b'brachos dafnun and zayin. That's what the Gemara says in Brachos, in the Perek HaRoeh. HaRoeh Shem and Zayis b'chalom, Yitzaper lema'or ha-Torah. Shenem ha'richo elecha shem en zayis doch. A person sees, the Gemara, of course, as we know, in the ninth paragraph of Brachos talks about dreams. If a person sees olive oil in a dream, he should anticipate to have ma'or ha-Torah, the light of Torah. He should, it's a good sign. It's a sign that he's going to be mechadesh chidushim. Why not that? Why not see the aron in a dream and have that as a sign that you'll be mechadesh chidushim? The answer is because mechadesh chidushim is an element of Torah that goes back to the menorah, not to the aron. That's the difference between the aron and the menorah. The aron is the canonized Torah, right? The text of Torah, whether the text of the Torah shebiktav or the firm, unchallenged elements of Torah shebaal peh. The menorah is that aspect of Torah which goes hand in hand with creativity.
But yet, you said that there was no menorah in the second
Bais HaMikdash? There was no Ara.
There was
no Ara in the second
Bais HaMikdash.
Oh, right. The menorah played a major role in the second Bais HaMikdash through the Ness of Chanukah.
I did see somewhere that wrote that it was underground.
That was my drasha last week.
What?
That was my drasha last week.
That was your
drasha. On Shabbos. Yeah. So, no, it's okay. Truth is, I forgot it already also. Right? Yeah. Okay, so that's one yesod. Menorah and Aron represent two different aspects of Torah. That's why they're two different kalim in the Mishkan that talk about Torah. Od roi ladas. Let's add another basic concept over here, says the Netziv. The Moshe v'Aron hayu nechshavim l'chaverim. Right? Moshe and Aron were colleagues. Kedetanya ba'avos d'Rav Nosson perachov zayim inayim shekavet chaver yehichov lecha karabo shnemar v'yom Aron and Moshe bi'adoni. Right, it cites the example that Alistair Reb Nosson cites the example Moshe and Aaron speaking to one another as the Aaron speaks to Moshe like his Rebbe, but in fact they were really chaverim. V'lo ochi v'akotin rimeno hoya lo so rabo v'atam bozeh. Why is it that Moshe and Aaron were considered to be colleagues? The avogav she'Aaron hoya nitzach li'gemara de Moshe mipi Hashem 1 second. The Afogav, the Sha'arash, Haya Nisrach Ligamar de Moshe, Mipi Hashem, Mikomoko Macharsh to Shoma, Shuv Lohoya Nisrach Lolisvara, for Haya Godo Vyisel Kimoshe. In what sense were Moshe and Aaron colleagues? Right? So says the Nitziv, look, Moshe Rabbeinu got the Torah from God. Right, the Chazal described how when Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to teach the Torah to Klal Yisrael, there was a chain of instruction. Moshe taught it to Aaron, Aaron taught it to Elazar and Isamar, right? They taught it to the Zekanim, and you know it went on, you know, for all of Klal Yisrael. So in a sense, Aaron needed Moshe Rabbeinu, right? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu had the goods. You know, he had received the Torah from God. He taught the Torah to Aaron. Nonetheless, once Moshe taught the Torah to Aaron, Aaron was good enough on his own. Aaron, at that point, didn't need Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. In what sense? A Talmud needs the Rebbe for two things. Especially in the day and age before printed Sfarim, the Rebbe simply is the reservoir of information which he gives over to the Talmud. Right? The Talmud doesn't know anything without consulting the Rebbe. But even once the Rebbe conveys the information to the Talmud, the expectation is that the Rebbe has a greater koach achidush, has a greater koach hasfara, is able to think on a deeper level than the Talmud. So even once the Talmud has mastered the information, he still needs to go back to the Rebbe for the Rebbe to show him how to process the information, how to deal with the information. That was not the relationship between Moshe and Aaron. They were colleagues. They were equals in that regard. Moshe Rabbeinu had the information initially, but once he passed on the information to Aaron, Aaron and Moshe had the same koach achidush, the same koach hasfara, the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu could process the information and come up with and extrapolate things from the information that he had learned. Aaron was equally qualified to be able to do that. In fact, one, as we'll see, perhaps Aaron was even better in certain respects than Moshe Rabbeinu in this regard.
Did Moshe give over everything that he had received? Is that possible to do that?
Apparently, yeah. Apparently, he was able to give over everything. Let's just read a little bit more. We'll flesh this idea out. Elishib dulasim batara lohaya ba'ofen echad. But nonetheless, they were different personalities in terms of their godless in Torah, the greatness in Torah. The koach Moshe hayanala b'koach ha-pilpul l'chadesh dovar mashal o'shova v'kabbalah ha-yidei ha-hechrich v'ha-pilpul. Moshe Rabbeinu had a tremendously creative mind. Moshe Rabbeinu was not just, you know, a copy machine, you know, that the Rabbanu Shel Olam handed him the Torah and said, okay, give this over to Klal Yisrael. You know, he wasn't just, you know, a secretary taking notes who had no mind of his own. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu not only was able to convey the Torah to Klal Yisrael, but he was able to be mechadesh chidushim on his own. How do we see that? The Gemara Nedarim makes a statement that on the surface seems bizarre. Says the Gemara Nedarim, God originally gave the Torah just to Moshe and his children. But what Moshe was nice and generous, and he passed it on to Klal Yisrael. God only gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu and his children? That doesn't sound like the story, the way it's told in the Chumash. So explains the Gemara there, what it means is that Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, had this power of pilpul in order to be able to be mechadish things from the Torah that he had learned, and that he shared with Klal Yisrael. That he didn't really have to share with Klal Yisrael. You know, he had to give them all of the finite Torah that he had learned, right? The discrete Torah that he had learned. But the chidushim that he came up with on his own, he could have just kept his own notebook and passed it out in the family. And, you know, only the inner circle would be, you know, entitled to learn Moshe Rabbeinu's chidushim. No, so Moshe Rabbeinu was a generous man. He shared the chidushim with Klal Yisrael as well. The Aaron, hayonala b'koach hasfari l'damus milsul milsul l'chavin ho'emes. Aaron also had a creative mind, but in a slightly different way than Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had a koach ha-pilpul, a very, you know, a way to judge every side of a situation and to be able to be mechadesh chidushim. Aaron excelled in case law. I guess that's how we talk about it in a legal sense. Case law means that I can see that case A is similar to case B, so whatever we said in case A, we'll say to case B. Right? Aaron had the mind of a jurist. Right? A Pesach, the truth is, looks at things oftentimes in that way. We had this Shiloh that came up. This other Shiloh is very, very similar. And by comparing the two Shilohs, Aaron was able to come up with Emes. In a sense, the distinction that the Netziv is drawing, and he'll explain this a little bit more as we go through, is Moshe Rabbeinu was a Rosh Yeshiva, Aaron was a Pesach. Right? A Rosh Yeshiva can come up with a million and one theoretical understandings of something. But you come to him and say, okay, bottom line, so what do? Rosh Yeshiva says, you know, I don't paskin. Right? It's well known, you know, Reb Chaim Brisker, when he was the Rav in Brisk, he didn't paskin many shailas. He was one of the Gedolei Ador. You know, a mind that was a Mayin Hanoveya, you know, that was coming up with Chidushim. But precisely because he could see every side of a question, he was afraid to paskin. There was a Dayan in Brisk, Reb Simcha Zeilig. Reb Simcha Zeilig was the Pesach for all intents and purposes. When they had a Shiloh, they went to Reb Simcha Zeilig. Right? The Reb Chaim, because of his brilliance and his Koyach HaPilpul, was not the ideal Pesach. He was not, his grandson, the Rav Zatzal, was also, I mean, you know, clearly if you asked him a basic Shiloh, he could respond. But his genius lay in being able to see all sides of an issue from a theoretical perspective, and not in the bottom line, okay, so what's the psak halacha, halacha lemaisa? That same distinction seems to lie in the difference between Moshe and Aaron. Right? So he says, where do you see this? Right, later on in Parsha Shmini, Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to tell Aaron that your job and the job of your sons is Lahoros is B'nai Yisrael, to teach Klal Yisrael, to paskin Shailos for Klal Yisrael. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu paskin Shailos for Klal Yisrael? He got the Torah. Yeah, but that wasn't his expertise. He was the Rosh Yeshiva. He could see all of the, you know, the sides of something theoretically, but bottom line, Aaron was the one who was the Pesach. The Ikra HaRav B'Shaita, Yefshar L'Chadesh Kol She'ela B'Pilpul. You can't approach every question simply with pilpul. You have to use case law. Ela al yedei svara uladamus milsa lemilsa. You have to compare one thing to the other. Aaron yachid ba'osodar. Right, and Aaron was outstanding in that regard in that generation. Ad she'ola pam achas al Moshe b'maisa d'serach hatos. What's the proof of this idea? So later on in Sefer Vayikra, when on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, with the Yom HaKomas HaMishkan, the day on which the Mishkan was erected, Aaron HaKohen tells his children that they should burn the Sir Chatos, they should burn the Korban Chatos and not eat it. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, why aren't you eating the Korban Chatos? So Aaron says, because we're owning them, because my sons and I are freshly minted mourners. We lost our sons and brothers respectively. We didn't think it was proper to eat the Korban Chatos under these circumstances. And Moshe Rabbeinu concedes. In other words, Aaron was a bigger Pesach than Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, had a Shiloh, he went to his brother. Aaron was superior in the Koach HaPesach, even though when you wanted to hear a good shiur, you went to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the dichotomy that the Netziv sets up over here. Right, so Ayinol Mashik Sadi Sefer Midbar Parshas Mekoshesh. Right, again he dispelled this idea also. The Achar Shem Moshe Hayom Yuchad LeKoach Hachilish VaPilpul Al Kei Nidrash Lo BeYichud Koach HaMenorah Shiyoy Lo HaDerech LeHagia LaEmes VaHayom Roy Shem Moshe Yasod BeAtzbo BeAchonas Hashem. So now that we've given this introduction, we understand the difference between Aaron and Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is the ultimate mechadesh, the ultimate exemplar of the Koach HaPilpul. To whom should the menorah properly belong? The menorah should be in the province of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because the menorah represents everything that Moshe Rabbeinu is. He is the embodiment of the menorah, the Koach HaPilpul. And really, he should have been the one involved in setting up the menorah. Elishi Yisrael asub sarche Moshe. It's that Moshe. It's Moshe Rabbeinu who told Klal Yisrael to do what he himself really should have done. Kol zelamdu Chazal b'Rav Parshas Emor hanal. Delahachik siv yichuei lecha. Haynu b'shvilcha. Elo mikol makom savis b'nei Yisrael v'lo ato be'asmecha. Mipnei she'ato melech. Really, that's what this Medrash Pliya meant when the Pasuk says in Parashas Emor, Savas b'nei Yisrael v'yichoy lecha shem inzai yizach. Go tell the Jewish people that they should take for you pure olive oil to light the menorah. So what the Pasuk is really saying is as follows. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, it would have been fitting for Moshe Rabbeinu to have taken the olive oil and to prepare the menorah himself, because the menorah represented everything that Moshe Rabbeinu himself in his own life represented. Nor was Moshe Rabbeinu was a melech. And it's not passed for a melech to go setting up a candelabra. Right? For even a holy candelabra like the menorah, you know, I can speak for myself. You ever try setting up the menorah for Hanukkah with the... You always have to wash... I don't know for you, about you. I always have to wash my hands with soap, you know, between the time that I set up the menorah and the time that I actually light the menorah, because by the time I get through with all the oil and everything like that, you know, your hands are oily and drippy and, you know, ichy and all of that. So, you know, it's not appropriate. You know, if you're a melech, right? So you shouldn't be messing around with these oils. But when the Jewish people go and they get the oil to set up the menorah, it's v'yichoy lecha. They're taking it for you. They're taking it at your command. It's not just like every other place in the Torah where Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people what to do. Right? Here, they're acting as his emissaries to set up the menorah. Right? Zek klal bir oso maima. Ume ato. Anu ba'in b'derech yosher lebir maimer chazal kan shviskashe lechazal smichos haparshios k'mo shekoshel anu v'helu chazal shekol zeh bo lepius v'moshe v'kodem sh'omar Hashem l'moshe v'ato hakrevei lecha v'odiyo maila hapnime sheichinu HaKadosh Baruch l'aron l'kdushas ha'avodo hikdim Hashem maimer zeh l'moshe shu pius bo zeh shezeh achelek hanale shel achidush v'apilpul nitan rak l'moshe l'zaro ad shani masircha sh'ato titzavis b'nei Yisrael v'yichwe lecha shushayich achi lecha uv'zeh gadol kolcho mikolach aron. Mimela says the Netziv, let's explain what this Pasha is doing over here. The Pasha of Truma has just finished talking about the Mishkan. The next Pasha, Tetzave, is mostly focused on Aaron and his children and the Kedushas Kehuna and how they're going to be the Kohanim and how they're going to, you know, focus on the Avoda. And Moshe Rabbeinu sees all of this and he gets upset. Right? You know, how can it be that they have the Kehuna and I don't have this precious gift? How does God reassure Moshe Rabbeinu? Right? So the way the Medrash says, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, don't worry, you got the Torah. But again, says the Nesib, that's not really a satisfactory answer. Good, he got the Torah. But then he gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael. So in what sense is Moshe Rabbeinu special? He got the Torah. So explains the Netziv, it's not just that he got the Torah, meaning he went up on Har Sinai, got the Luchos and handed them off to the people and taught the people Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was blessed with the Koach HaPilpul, with the Koach HaChidush, you know, the ability to be Mechadish within Torah, which was a Koach, a power, a force that Aaron HaKohen didn't possess. And how did HaKadosh Baruch Hu convey this to Moshe Rabbeinu? Through sticking the parsha of the menorah before the parsha that talks about the Kohanim and their avoda. Before we talk about what you do, what Aaron is going to have, let me first focus on what you have. The ato titzaves b'nei Yisrael. You go tell the Jewish people to act on your behalf. The yikhwe lecha shem in zayizach. And they will bring the oil that represents the chidushim of Torah, eilecha, because it's yours. Lahalos ner tamid. The menorah is kindled by Aaron and his sons, that's true. But the menorah represents everything that you are about, Moshe Rabbeinu. The koach hachidush v'apilpul is yours, Moshe Rabbeinu. So you have a gift, a tremendous gift, that even Aaron and his children don't necessarily have. Let's just see a little bit more. Right before, you know, just to flesh this out. In this sense, you're greater than what Aaron has. The Avo Gav the Koach Aaron Gam b'Torah Rav Usfar v'Ahora. I mean, Aaron's no slouch either. Aaron is the Posek who's greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. Mikomakom Eino Dama Ma'ilus Koach Achidus l'Koach Ahora. The Netziv was a Rosh Hashiva when all said and done. Says the Netziv, yeah, it's great to be a Pesach and to have the Koach HaHorah, the ability to pass Kinshailos, but the Koach HaPilpul V'Achidish, the ability to say a good Shir, a Geshmak HaShir that answers all the Kashas, that that supersedes the ability to be able to pasken. Why? Because although case law is how you pasken, to be madama milsa la milsa, to compare one thing to another thing, but ultimately, you know, you can always argue on case law. The fact that we did it this way last time, the fact that we do it this way over here, doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to do it this way over there. You can always look at it from a different perspective. And Moshe Rabbeinu was mollified, he was pacified by this statement of the Ribbono Shel Olam, that what? That although Aaron may have the kahuna, you have the koach achidush. That's what the pasuk means in Tehillim. Your Torah is my sha'ashuah, my delight. Ain pir sha'ashuah losan shichok v'sha'ashuim chas v'shalom. What's sha'ashuah? So again, I just translated, the standard translation is my delight, my happiness. But says that it's siv. That's not really a good translation of sha'ashuah. Sha'ashuah means elokim ahapech. If you delight in something, you're constantly turning it over and looking at it and analyzing it, and you have a new, if somebody likes a diamond, he gets a new diamond, so he turns it over, he looks at it, you know, that describes the approach of somebody who excels in the koach hachidush, the koach hapilpo, that he can take, you know, something which is very, very dear to him, and look at it from so many different angles. Lulei saros chasha'ashuai, your Torah is something which I can view from every perspective, and that's what gives me delight and glory in it. Right? Toros chasha'ashuai means the koach of Torah which expresses itself through the koach hachidush. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu had, and that's what he realized Aaron HaKohen lacked, and that ultimately is the message which is conveyed by putting the menorah over here. Yeah.
I'm just a little confused. It's really great. But from the beginning, I was understanding that it's Moshe Rabbeinu that is identified with the Aaron, and with Aaron that was identified with the menorah, as shown in the Bayesheni. As you're showing in the Bayesheni, something was different in the Bayesheni. There was no Moshe Rabbeinu then, living on the Bula. And that's when the menorah took central thing. So something was being done in the Bayis Sheni that wasn't there once Moshe Rabbeinu ceased to be the Nebuah ceased.
Okay, so that comparison, you know, Moshe equals Aaron. I'm sorry, Moshe equals Aaron. Aaron equals menorah. No, the Netziv doesn't make that syllogism.
Right.
Basically what he's saying is
that, I don't know if that's what you spoke about.
No. So there is a difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. You know, Bayis Rishon is more Aron centric,
right.
Bayis Sheni is more menorah centric,
okay.
Right? But that doesn't then correspond to Moshe and Aaron. In other words, he's claiming that the Aron, which represents the discrete knowledge of Torah, the truth is Moshe and Aaron were equal in that. Moshe had received the Torah, but once he gave it over to Aaron, Aaron knew the text of Torah just as well as Moshe knew the text of Torah. Moshe was better than Aaron in his ability to be mechadesh chidushim in Torah. Aaron had the ability to come to psak in Torah. Right? So that was an element in which, you know, Aaron was superior to Moshe, but the menorah, the koach hachidush of Torah, is something that ultimately was closer to the heart of Moshe Rabbeinu than it was to Aaron. Right? Again, it's a complicated nitziv because different things mean, you know, the symbolism, you know, there are different elements to the symbolism here. It's not just the neat, there's this and there's that. You know, there's the Aaron versus the menorah, and then within the ability to be mechadash chidushim within Torah, there's the Rosh Yeshiva versus the Posek. That's the most,
and they're both represented by the menorah,
but the Rosh Hashiva even more so. In other words, that's what he wants to claim. The Rosh Hashiva is the ultimate usage of the koach hachidush of Torah. The posek is a lesser usage of the koach hachidush of Torah. Right? Let's go back to something that Rabbi Rubin mentioned in passing before. So what the Nesiv doesn't speak over here about the Medrash of Niskasha Moshe B'maisa HaMenorah, right? Which is interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu had a hard time understanding the menorah. Perhaps, according to the Nesiv, what that Medrash is really getting at is the following. Moshe Rabbeinu had to work hard to achieve this koach of chiddush. When he was first shown the menorah, and in other words, when he was first shown the idea that not only is the Torah a discrete group of things that you're going to learn, but you have the ability through your intellect to extrapolate ideas from Torah, he had a hard time wrapping his head around it. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the Maisa HaMenorah, i.e., he showed him how you do it. And as Moshe Rabbeinu was given instruction by God himself in how to be Mechadash Chidushim, right? Five easy steps to being a Rosh Yeshiva, taught to you by God. Right, that was the lesson of the Maisa HaMenorah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu received that, he subsequently developed an attachment to the menorah and the Koach HaChidush and the Koach HaPilpul, which was really something extraordinary, and that's why he excelled Davka in that particular kind of limud.
Maybe with the Nesiv, we can understand a little bit why Moshe Rabbeinu's name was not mentioned Davka in this parsha, right? And I could work it as a beginning on the civil so I should have said, okay, I'll take him out from the Maisa, Vaisos, whatever parsha. Why Davka here to Tzavah? Why this was a thing? So, what you mentioned before, that when Aaron HaKohen, when the Kuna was given to him, so the pain of not having the Kuna, Moshe Rabbeinu was always Kesef, when he's about Kesef. He always wanted a Chavnach HaMitzvah, Nach HaMitzvah. And to see the mitzvah going over to Aaron, and he could have had it, had he not been stubborn.
Right.
So it could be the Rebbeinu was sensitive to Moshe Rabbeinu's feelings. You know, I'll tell you what, Moshe, I'll leave your name out of the Sedra that deals with Aaron HaKohen's Hakad Alechas Aaron HaKicha. I know it's painful to you, but you know something? Whatever, you lost.
I have Rachmanis on your COVID, basically.
What?
I have Rachmanis on your COVID, you know,
right,
so to speak. Right?
With the connection to Kuhuna.
Okay, very, very nice.
There's several questions on this. First of all, Moshe is called Rabbeinu, Aaron is not. Why is that the case?
No, because he's the Rebbe in the sense that, first of all, he received the Torah initially. Mm-hmm. Right? So he gave us the Torah.
He's Rosh Yeshiva, but
right.
Wouldn't one call his posek also his Rebbe?
Again, the Nitziv's coming from a Rosh Yeshiva's perspective. You know, the Rosh Yeshiva is the ultimate. You know, the posek is, second tier.
It's hard to understand how someone Moshe Rabbeinu, who has the ability to fulfill Po, can I come down to the bottom line and come to a decision, or truthfully, any Rosh Yeshiva. I can't understand why Rosh Yeshiva can't come to the bottom line and you have to go to somebody else for Sakh rather than Rosh Yeshiva.
Well, there's a printed speech from the Rav Zatzal where he talks about this in reference to his grandfather, Reb Chaim. And he says it was Reb Chaim's brilliance that made him unable to pass him because he saw every side of the issue.
He could see every side, but for himself.
Right. So what happened? So Reb Chaim was a brisker. He was the original brisker. What's brisk? You mach me for everything, because I can't decide who's right. Right. Now again, obviously that's taken to extremes, right? Because obviously there's certain things you can pass him. You ask a Rosh Yeshiva, a brisker. So I forgot Yalav Yavo on Rosh Chodesh, to go back and say it again. I know I can see every side of that question. Right? I mean, there are certain questions that have a yes or no answer. But for things that are complex, so a Rosh Yeshiva could see, a Rosh Yeshiva of that Madrega could see every side of the issue. And the fear to Paskin then leads to the famous brisker tendency to be machmir for everything. Right? Now again, that's not a mahalach for the Hamonam, because you can't do that. You can't be machmir for everything. You have to come to a decision. But Davka, the one who comes to that decision, is somebody who just has to say, okay, look, Klal Yisrael has always done it this way. This is the mainstream. This is the way most poskim paskin. Someone who doesn't, in a sense, someone who doesn't have that breadth of being able to see every side of the issue is in a better situation to be able to paskin.
In the community, we are, it's not a learned community, I'd say.
Yeah.
Isn't the poskim more important than the Rosh Yeshiva?
Yeah, 100%. But for Klal Yisrael, I mean, at least the Nesiv would argue, the Rosh Yeshiva who can see all sides of the issue is the ultimate arbiter, Again, the Nesiv is right. The Nesiv's day job was to be a Rosh Yeshiva. right? He wasn't, you know, again, he wrote tshuvas, he did pass kenshailas, but, you know, he clearly sees that as the top. I'm sure, you know, there would be others who would look at it differently, but this is the way the Netziv sees it.
What does the Netziv do with the famous Pasuk in Tvarim that, you know, says, Havlachan, Nashim, Yerev, Chacham, Zun, and he's pointing this in the Lulav Dayanim, he says, Adabash, Yishin, you can't talk, even a lie. I'll pass it, I'll decide. You know, whatever you don't know, I'll decide. So, point today, he should have said, Aaron should do it. I mean, I understand.
I hear.
You don't know, I'll pass it, you have to stop it. You guys work out the Shabbos, but I'll do it in the end, Q.
Right, so I hear that. I guess, again, everything is with a measure, meaning it's not as if the Rosh Hashiva can never paskin anything, right? It's not that, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a Koach HaRa at all, but in the realm of Koach HaRa, Aaron was somewhat superior. So if you say, okay, so let Aaron paskin all the Shilas, yeah, but Aaron is busy being the Kohen Gadol, so he's taken already, right? So in terms of Mishpat, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu was the arbiter. The truth is, if you think about it, it does make sense also in context. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm the ultimate arbiter for disputes, right? In disputes between people, you want someone who can see every side of the issue. And you want someone who can see every side of the issue and come to some kind of pshara, some kind of compromise. You know, in Yaradeya, we're not looking for psharas, but in Choshen Mishpat, you know, so that's where psharas are appropriate. You know, and the context we were talking about with Yisroel is basically with a Chayshul Mishpah kind of thing. Okay, wish everybody a good Shabbos, a Freilich and Purim, an easy fast, and, you know, we should be Zocha to a little bit of the or of the menorah. Chanan Ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Yisroel.